Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I personally don't think a fertilized egg should have more rights than an adult woman.
You know nothing. You know nothing. Your ignorance is being shown for the entire world.
Either that thing that you abort is a human person with a right to life or it isn't. That's like shooting at a movement in the bush when you're hunting, and it might be a deer and it might be your fellow hunter, but you don't know. Well, don't shoot, for goodness sakes.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not going to complain about the weather. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. In fact, it would be a sin. Hello, this is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. And while the day isn't perfect, it's perfectly fine with me. Why? Because to complain about the weather is to question God's sovereign judgment, the one who is in control of all weather systems, and basically state, you didn't do a very good job today. And so it is. I'm not going to complain about the weather, but I am going to use it as a springboard into witnessing to the young people here at Georgia Tech. So let's do that on a Witness Wednesday here at Georgia Tech. Excuse me, young man. While you're walking, where are you going right now?
Howie Physics.
Physics. Can I walk and talk with you on the radio while you're on your way to class?
Okay.
Got it. Well, it's not really a physics question. Mm-hmm. We got a ton of rain in Atlanta recently.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and a lot of devastation. Mm-hmm. Just hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Who do you think is responsible for the rainfall?
I don't know. I guess climate change. You could blame it on that.
Just happened all by itself.
Yeah, I would say so.
Nature.
Mm-hmm.
Mother nature. Nature?
Yeah, I would say Mother Nature.
What's Mother Nature?
The weather, the earth, basically.
Random chance?
Yes, I would say.
Okay, so I'm guessing by your response that you don't believe that there is a God. Is that correct?
I wouldn't say that. I'd say Mother Nature is pretty much a metaphor of the weather and stuff like that.
Okay. Do you believe in God?
I would say so, yes.
Yeah. Who do you think it is?
The guy upstairs, I would say.
Okay. So if I asked you for the name of the guy upstairs, what name would you give the guy upstairs?
Can't say his name.
And are you sure it's not a gal upstairs?
Could be a girl, guy.
All right. Who do you think it is? What religious system do you follow?
Catholic.
You're Catholic?
Mm-hmm.
So you would say it was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you believe that God is the God of the Bible, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, as best I know my Bible, doesn't the Bible say that God is in control of the weather department?
Yes, I would say.
In fact, doesn't it say that he sends rain on the evil and the good?
I don't know. I haven't heard that.
Oh. Because he's in charge of everything that happens, according to your beliefs, right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
So the rain came from God, right?
True, I guess.
Friend, tell me, as a Catholic who believes in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what do you think is going to happen to you when you die?
I don't know. Maybe purgatory. Who knows?
Purgatory, but you're not. So in other words, if you do enough good, a good place, do bad things, a bad place.
Yes, sir.
All right. How do you think you're doing today?
Pretty good. I've been just thinking about schoolwork and stuff like that.
But if you got zapped right now, you'd just get taken out. God kills you right on the spot.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen, heaven or hell? Have you been a good person?
Sort of all right, I would say. Mediocre.
All right. When was the last time you took a test?
Last Monday.
Cool. I'm going to give you one today on Wednesday. You ready?
Okay.
All right, here's the test. This is the good person test to see if you're a good person, all right? In your life, about 20 years, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
How many lies do you think you've told?
Thousands. Millions.
Thousands of lies. Wow, you're an accomplished young man. So if I told thousands of lies, what would you call me? What name would you give to me?
Maybe, depends on the lie, maybe a hypocrite. Or
rhymes with pants on fire.
Oh, liar.
Liar. Okay, how many things in your 20 or so years have you stolen?
Doesn't have to be from a store or a bank. Just taking anything from anyone. Downloading music, not working a full shift, taking some money out of your parents' pants pockets.
Maybe, less than 100.
Less than 100?
Yeah.
Okay, if I stole, stop right here. If I stole, it's shady, less than 100 things, mm-hmm. what would you call me?
A stealer.
If you're from Pittsburgh. Otherwise, you would be a thief.
Oh, thief.
Thief, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, so that we're doing the good person test. You're a liar and you're a thief. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's a trickier one. Mm-hmm. Walking around on campus, mm-hmm. do you ever look at women and have X-rated thoughts? Or in your private life, in your heart, all alone, sexual thoughts about other people?
Mm-hmm. I do.
All right?
Yeah.
So that would be adultery of the heart, according to the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't need to do the act, just need to think about it, and God has you tagged because he knows everything.
Yes.
Huh. All right, so that's three on the good person test. Let's try one more. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Yes, I have.
All right, so lying, thieving, adultery, and blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, God zaps you.
Mm-hmm.
You die. You stand before him. The books are open.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you've ever done in darkness, it's revealed. He knows the whole story.
Indeed.
Are you good enough to get into heaven?
I don't think so, no.
Bad day today, right?
Yeah.
But that makes sense. If God is good and he's just, mm-hmm. he should punish lawbreakers because they're guilty. They've broken his laws. They've committed crimes against him. So you'd be going to heaven or hell?
Hell.
Dude, that's horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about hell.
Lots of fire. Pretty bad place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's reasonable?
Yeah, I would say so.
Why?
Because he gave us the gift of life, and if we don't, honor that gift back, you know, why not?
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you have a girlfriend by any chance?
No.
Ever had a girlfriend?
No.
Okay, imagine you've got a girlfriend. Or a wife.
Right? Okay.
Somebody that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And you sent that person 66 love letters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they never opened them up.
Mm-hmm.
What would you think about their love for you when you took the effort to write so much to them?
You'd
be a little annoyed, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Probably think,
yeah.
Hey, they don't love me back.
Yeah.
When is the last time you read your Bible? Because you wanted to?
Long time ago. Mm. I can't recall.
66 books. God
mm-hmm.
sent them to you.
Yeah.
And you haven't read them. It's a pretty good barometer for how we feel about the God who loves us.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me, you've got to know the answer to this. This is important.
Yeah.
What did God do so you don't have to go to hell? He's done something for you. Do you know what it is?
What is it?
What did Jesus do 2,000 years ago?
Died for our sins.
Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
The just for the unjust.
Mm-hmm.
The righteous for the unrighteous.
Mm-hmm.
God for man.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect person, fully God, fully man, came to this earth, took the punishment that you deserve by being beaten and spat upon,
mm-hmm.
dying on a cross,
mm-hmm.
gasping for air.
Yeah.
For you, God's wrath being poured out on him
mm-hmm.
so that his goodness can be credited to your account.
Mm-hmm.
That's good news.
Indeed.
Forgiveness is available, but the question mm-hmm. is, how do you get that forgiveness? This is the important part. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're in trouble with God,
mm-hmm.
he's angry at you, and Jesus, because he died on the cross, can appease the wrath of the Father. You've got to access that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what you must do to be saved?
Be baptized.
Here's why baptism won't help you.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you or somebody else did.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus did everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you contribute to that somehow, it's going to rob him of his glory and the good thing that he did for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a work that you can do. It's not going to a man in a confessional booth and doing something, because that would mean that his work on the cross wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
And his work on the cross was enough. You've got to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that means to repent?
Atonement.
Well, in order to get atonement,
mm-hmm.
you need to repent. The good news is Jesus died for you. In response to that good news, you should go, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wrong. I've been living wrong. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And so you confess your sins to God, not to a man, to God. You say you're sorry, and you turn from your sins. Doesn't mean you become perfect, but you have a new attitude about Him. You don't like those things anymore. You want Him, and you put your trust in Jesus. And the Bible says when you do that, all of your sins, past, present, and future, all forgiven because of what He did for you. You repent and trust the Savior.
Yeah.
Total surrender, dead to yourself, and He'll make you alive in Him. So how old are you actually?
19.
19 years old. So, dude, maybe something to think about today on the campus, huh?
Okay.
Because if you died right now, you're right, you'd go to hell. But God is good, and He's rich in mercy, and He will save a sinner like you and me or that guy if you'll repent and put your trust in Him.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's good news. You got bad news now, but there's good news available.
Yeah.
Do you have a Bible?
Yes.
Crack that thing open.
Okay.
God wrote that so you can know Him. Mm-hmm. And you can know that what I'm saying is true if you go read that thing. All I'm trying to do, I'm not trying to get you into a cult or a church or anything for that matter. I want you to go to heaven.
Okay.
Because God will be glorified if you'll get saved. So read your Bible. Read the Gospel of John, would you?
Okay.
All right. Hey,
all right.
I think God's in control of the weather and of this encounter that I met you today. All right, dude?
All right.
All right. Physics on.
Okay.
See ya.
See ya.
Goodbye. It's Witness Wednesday. We are at Georgia Tech. Woman was hiding behind that wall. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate you. We appreciate your time. And we appreciate all of you who have given to this ministry over the years. Without your support, we couldn't do the things that we're able to do here. So we are tickled pink that you're a part of it. Now, I do want to speak to those of you that have given to us before, but maybe something came up in your life where you had to stop giving for a period of time. Nobody understands that better than we do. But I would ask that if you are able to maybe possibly join us again as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would definitely welcome you back with open arms. We've got some exciting things on the horizon we can't wait to tell you about, and we would not be able to do those things that we've got coming up without your support. So if you're in a place in your life where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would love for you to prayerfully consider doing that. All the answers to any questions you might possibly have about what this would look like is available at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others, it's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Help! Help! We need help on the campuses. It's Wretched Radio. Oh, I wish you could see what I see. The sidewalks are packed with people right now. I don't know what the clock is here at Georgia Tech, but class must have just been let out, and there are literally... Okay, I don't want to sound like a Christian event promoter, but there's at least hundreds of people on this sidewalk right now. Everywhere I turn, it's like people everywhere. We need more fishers out here. Could you be one? Don't want to guilt you into this. Just know that there's a lot of people going to hell out here, and you've got the words of life. I don't want you to feel guilty about this, though. Be motivated because of what Jesus did for you, and bring it out here, and you get to share it, like the conversation that I just get to have with a young man, to clear up so that they can understand the gospel and the cross. It's a wonderful thing to get to do. And maybe, just maybe, you have the skills that God has gifted you with so that you could be out here too. So you don't have to be at a campus, but you should be somewhere doing something with the gifts that God has given to you. So do that. Figure it out. And if you think, you know, those college kids, every time I think about them, it breaks my heart, then get out here. Start wandering around the campus and start talking to kids. And that's what we'll do right now. It's Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. And honestly, you want to know what my problem is right now? There's too many kids. Because it's kind of hard when there's so many people around. It's almost better when there's fewer kids. Am I complaining? I'm sorry. Not supposed to complain about that either. Or the weather, because you'll recall we're using that in Georgia as a springboard to talk to people about God. Who does the weather? Okay, here's my guy. He's sitting on a bench. He's got a backpack. There's a shucker. And he's got red hair on the... Oh, he looks like he might be an athletic sort of fellow. Let's see if we can chat with him. Hey, young man. Hey, could I sit down next to you for just a second? No, don't move so far. That's all right. Sit right there. Hey, while you're sitting killing time, could I talk to you on the radio for a minute?
Sure.
Cool. What's your first name?
Nathan Stewart.
Nathan, nice to meet you. Do you know what your first name means?
No, I don't.
I do.
What's it mean?
It means gift of God. Did you know that?
I didn't.
It's a Hebrew name. It's one of the few things I remember from studying Hebrew. Natan is your name. It means gift of God.
Cool.
That's all I got for you. Dude, what are you studying here at the campus?
Computer science.
Computer, so you're a geek. You are a geek.
I am.
Here's my question for you, Nathan. The big storm that went through Georgia, mm-hmm. Tons of rain, a lot of devastation, yeah. Flooding, some people died. Nathan, who do you think caused that rain to happen? Was there a God, a cosmic force, nature? Who is the one responsible for all that rain?
I'd have to say nature.
Nature. No? Hello.
Hello.
You don't have to stand there. Are you together? Just hanging out? You'd have to say nature. So it just kind of happened all by itself. Mm-hmm. Cool. Do you believe that there is a God?
I do.
Who do you think it is, Nathan?
Couldn't tell you. I'd say there's a God, but I couldn't tell you who it is.
So why do you think there is one?
Just how I grew up.
Did you grow up in a church?
Christian, yep.
Temple? Okay. What kind of Christian? There's lots of stripes
Catholic.
Of Christians. So you're Catholic. So you believe in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right?
Yep.
Huh? I got that. Look at me, two today. Nathan and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So would you be willing to say that that is who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost?
I'd say so.
Cool. You believe in that God. How come?
Couldn't tell you, honestly.
Really? Maybe because you just grew up with it?
Yeah.
Kind of went along with the program. How old are you now, Nathan?
18.
So you're a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
So now... You should be figuring out if that's true or not, huh? Why would somebody like me want to believe what you believe? Can you give me a good reason to believe what you believe?
Nope, I'd say just believe whatever.
Whatever. All right. Are you ready for some tough questions now?
Sure.
All right, these are going to get dicier. Nathan, would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I would.
You're sure?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to quiz you.
All right.
All right. Nathan, how many lies have you told in your life?
Countless.
Countless. Okay, so if I told countless lies, what would you call me?
Say you're a normal person.
Well, I don't think I disagree with you, but the name that you would give to me rhymes with pants on fire.
All right.
A liar?
A liar.
Right? You tell a bunch of lies, you're a liar. All right, Nathan, how many things do you think you've stolen in your life?
A couple.
couple. All right. Only one thing, and that would make you a...
Liar. Or thief.
Thief. Yep. Righto. Okay. A little trickier. Thought life. What goes on in your brain? Have you ever just been really mad at somebody torqued driving down the road? You think they're a moron for being such a terrible driver?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because God sees what's going on in your brain and would call that murder of the heart. Now, it's not as bad as committing the act, but it's still bad because you've had a hateful, murderous thought in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so have you ever taken God's name in vain?
I have not.
Ever?
Nope.
Ever and ever?
Nope.
Not an OMG? None of that monkey business?
Nope.
You're sure?
Yep.
All right. So you're good to go on that one. All right. Has God always been your number one priority in life?
Nope.
Okay. Because that would be the first commandment right there. All right. Now, you don't have to answer this one, especially with the girl standing here. But if you have ever had thoughts about other people that were, well, let's say either R or X rated, or if mom or dad knew about him, it would be kind of embarrassing. That would also be a strike against you as a good person.
That would.
All right? All right. So, dude, I just asked you like 5 questions to see if you're a good person. And you confessed to me that you're a liar, a thief, a murderer, and potentially an adulterer at heart. Yikes. You're sure you're a good person?
Yep.
Okay. So if you died and you stood before God and he knew the books and he knew everything that you've ever done, ever, every deed done in darkness, everything you failed to do, all those things by not having him first in your life, would he say that you, Nathan, are an innocent man or a guilty man?
I would have to say innocent.
How come?
Because, I don't know, that's hard to say. I don't know.
Well, if you've broken the laws...
That is true.
You'd be guilty.
I guess so.
I know I'd be guilty. Way more than you, by the looks of you, but I'd be guilty and you'd be guilty.
I guess so.
Okay, so if God is just, this Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is just, and he hates sin, and he's got to punish lawbreakers, because he doesn't like it when criminals get away with breaking the law. We don't like that either, do we, when we watch the news and we see the bad guy get away? What would God do with you, Nathan?
Probably punishment.
Okay, heaven or hell for you?
Couldn't tell you. I think that'd be up to him.
I agree. But we could probably conclude it wouldn't be a good day
for
Nathan.
No, probably not.
Probably not a good day. All right, now, dude, you Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So the Father's going to judge you, send you to hell if you've broken his laws. Tell me, what did the Son do so you don't have to go to hell?
Recant.
No, tell me what he did 2,000 years ago. Here's what we got. Here's our situation. Nathan's a lawbreaker. You're on trial. You're guilty. You've got an infinite debt to pay. Jesus did something 2,000 years ago to pay your fine. What did he do?
Fine.
All right. Actually, you know what? I have to go.
Okay. Real quick. You'll catch up to it. What did Jesus do 2,000 years ago so you don't have to go to hell? You know this.
Gave his life.
That's right. He died for you, a sinner, so that you don't have to go to hell. You need to repent and put your trust in him, all of your sins forgiven, so that you don't die and go to hell. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Would you think about this today?
All right.
All right. I appreciate it, Nathan. See ya.
See ya.
All right, goodbye. Nathan had to go chase after the chick. Johnny Hunt just said something. I agree with him. He said most people in this country, they've heard parts of the story. They just need you to put it together for them. And it's very, very true. This, you know, this kid, he knows Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but doesn't believe in him, but that's his God, but he doesn't know who it is. And Jesus on the cross, the whole, it's just a hash for them. And you need to help put it together for them. And you can. It's really, honest, if I ever get this book published, what I think is the biggest, if you want to use marketing terms, target market there is in the country. People who went to church as a kid but don't understand the gospel, or they've had some sort of Christian experience going to a Christian camp or the football outreach thing, but they never really understood it, and they need you to clear it up for them. Most people in this country fit that category. So if you're an odds kind of guy or gal, and it's like, well, who should I go witness to, where there's a good chance that they're confused? Answer pretty much anybody in this country. So please find yourself a fishing hole, and it might even be your neighborhood. What is your bag, Christian? Get on it. I'm telling you. Yeah, you're going to get shot down once in a while. Yes, you will be sick to your stomach, nervous. It can be considered like a weight loss program. I'm telling you, it'll make you nervous and sick to your stomach. It is scary. Whoop-de-doo. Do it, and the joy that you will get out of it, and if somebody, even one gets saved, besides that, you're not called to do the saving. You're just called to do the preaching. So please, figure out your deal and get on it, would you? Because everywhere I look here on the campus, they're just lost. And they're at such a ripe age to figure it out. I know George Barna will say this or that statistic about the college kids, they've lost their faith. Well, they didn't lose it. They never had it in the first place. And my belief is that most of these kids are at least willing to try to figure it out. We are here at Georgia Tech. It's a Witness Wednesday. We're not complaining about the weather. Instead, we're using it as a springboard to witness to people. And you could too. So get on it. Georgia Tech on Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, we start today with news from Arizona, where the newly elected mayor in San Luis, Arizona, has suddenly shut down a food pantry that has been serving the community for over 20 years. Pastor Jose Manuel Castro's church had been faithfully providing food and clothing for more than 300 needy families every Saturday morning. But since the new mayor took to office in December of 2022, she has targeted the ministry, forcing it to close its doors. The church is being represented by the nonprofit law firm First Liberty and has filed a lawsuit against the city claiming violations of the First and 14th Amendments as well as federal and state religious freedom laws. The suit alleges a clear pattern of harassment and intimidation by the mayor and other city officials. And strangely, the defendants have refused to comment or even discuss a solution that would allow the ministry to continue serving the poor and hungry in the community. Strange indeed. In other news, the UK government has taken the absurd step of labeling pro-life views as a potential gateway to terrorism in its counter-terrorism training materials. Despite the fact that there has never been a single instance of pro-life terrorism in British history, the government has now explicitly stated that holding a pro-life position could be the first step on the road to becoming a terrorist. Not only is that a ridiculous worldview to hold, but it also reveals a deep intolerance and hostility toward those who actually believe people shouldn't be murdered and killed in the womb for no reason. It makes you wonder if they're going to label traditional marriage as terroristic next. Seems to be trending that way. Meanwhile, in Canada, the government there is preparing to launch open banking. What's that? Well, it's a system that would allow customers to share their financial data with a third-party financial company more easily. And proponents claim it will increase competition and efficiency, but critics are warning of the potential for fraudulent account linking and large-scale theft of funds. That's the one I'm going to go with. Finally, in a stunning display of confusion, and that is the nice way to term this, a director at Stephen Furtick's Elevation Church has announced plans for their Easter Sunday celebration, and it will be void of any mentions of the resurrection, the blood of Christ, or anything else that might make people feel like outsiders. So what are they planning to celebrate if those things aren't mentioned? Because that is the very epitome of what Easter means. It was the death of Christ who shed his blood on the cross for sinners, and 3 days later, he was resurrected from the grave, defeating death, sin, and Satan. What is it that they plan on celebrating? They're afraid to make people feel like outsiders? Well, that's exactly what they are if they're still lost in their sin. Apparently, things are going pretty status quo at Elevation Church. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 590 AD. Gregory becomes Pope Gregory I, known as the Great. He made treaties with Germanic tribes, independent of the emperor, and declared the Bishop of Rome's primacy over the whole church, increasing the political and spiritual power of the papacy significantly. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Witness Wednesday. It's Wretched Radio. I'm at Georgia Tech. Hey, young man, Could I interrupt you just for a minute and talk to you? On the, you're, what are you working on? I had that cell phone. I miss my, because it's got big numbers and I miss that one.
Nice.
It is nice. All right, dude, can I push your stuff over?
Yeah.
All right, so tell me on the radio, what exactly are you doing here at Georgia Tech? What are you studying?
I'm a chemical engineer, first year. Right now I'm doing biology homework and probably shouldn't be chatting with people, but I am anyway.
You can't help yourself.
Can, but...
Are you a disciplined guy?
Yeah.
For the most part?
For the most part.
I want to ask you a question about the weather.
Okay.
All right? I don't know if this has to do with biology or not, but we just had a ton of rain here in Georgia. Lots of rain. Lots of devastation. Some bad things happening. Some people dying. Who do you think is responsible for the weather?
Well, according to the weatherman on CNN, it was a high-pressure front over the East Coast.
And if they say it on CNN...
No, not
it's
necessarily,
true.
But
yeah.
I was looking up weather pictures of the flooding. That was the picture.
So do you think weather just happens by itself, or is there somebody in charge of the weather department?
Don't really have a stance on that issue.
All right. Here's what I'm trying. Do you think that there's a God who controls the weather? Maybe.
Possibly. No evidence for or against my scientific mind won't let me choose either side.
You're an empiricist, are you?
Yes.
Is there something inside of your non-scientific mind that goes, yeah, I think so?
Yeah, I've had those thoughts before.
Well,
I just don't buy into religion.
No. I think, now you'll have to tell me if I'm right on this, but I think I've got some empirical proof that God exists.
Okay.
You ready for this one?
Shoot.
Your feet are on it right now.
The Earth?
Yeah. An organized system demands that there was an organizer. Besides, all the stuff had to come from someplace. The energy, the power, the design had to come from somewhere. It doesn't happen by itself. It breaks the laws of thermodynamics. Things don't get better, they get worse.
Actually,
stuff
doesn't
come...
break the law of thermodynamics, but there's a whole lecture behind that. So
thanks for keeping it simple for me. Okay, but it doesn't. Things usually don't go from disorder to order, do they?
Well,
from explosion to construction?
They can. Depends on how far you're willing to get into the actual theoretical side of physics. However, I've always kind of held the view of current theory says explosion to crunch to explosion again. And you go back far enough, eventually there's something else there.
There has to be an infinite, an unmoved mover.
Technically, yes.
Okay. So then the question is, who is the unmoved mover?
That is the million-dollar question that everyone tries to answer and gets into more trouble every time they do.
So let's give this unmoved mover a generic name. I'm not saying which one, whether it's Islam or Christianity, but how's about God?
We can give him the name.
Is that okay?
Greeks have used it, Norse have used it.
Sure, fair enough.
Yeah, everyone's used it.
So now, if we've established empirically that there is a God, there's an unmoved mover, the question is, who is that God? And maybe, even perhaps an equally interesting question would be, what does he want, this God? Is there any sort of purpose, plan?
No. He's whoever you want him to be.
Really?
Yes. He's whomever you want him to be. If think about it empirically. If you're an all-powerful being, by definition, God is omnipotent and omnipresent. You know, all-knowing, all-seeing, can do anything.
Righto.
What is a human being to you? Exactly.
Puny.
Exactly.
Dirt.
So, to us as a human, God is what we want him to be. If you need him to have a plan for you, he can. But when I try and put myself in his shoes, which might be a little bit overreaching on my part, being only an 18-year-old, but... when I try and think about it in that form, I really see him more as someone who said, okay, we're going to let it run, but I'm not really all that interested in the outcome.
It sounds to me like you might be a postmodern. Are you familiar with the term? Philosophical
mindset. Literature, yes. Not necessarily in philosophy.
Well, it's similar in that you can determine what is truth, and it's actually true for you as long as you believe it. Now, I can believe something completely different, and it can be entirely contradictory, but we're both right, even though we flat out contradict one another. That's postmodernism.
As far as
that surprises me, because an empiricist like you, I wouldn't think would think like that. For instance, what's 2 plus 2?
5 for large values of 2.
Stop it. What's 2 plus 2?
4.
Okay, if I said it's 17...
I'd say you're incorrect by the laws.
Thank
of
you
math.
For that. Okay. Because I've got the wrong answer. I've got the wrong number. I'm not right just because I believe it.
Yes, and in an empirical sense, science, math, history to a point, yes.
But I would say God too, though. Here's why. Because if he exists, then he either is that or he isn't. It's not what I fancy him to be. The intensity of my belief doesn't make God a certain thing or exist or not exist.
All right.
He is what he is. And then the question, of course, is, what is he? Who is he? I'd like to suggest that we can figure it out to a degree.
To a degree, right. Yes.
Because I think you'll agree with this. As we look around at the bugs and the slugs and the butterflies and bees, we're the best thing there is on this planet.
Yes, I will agree that humans are top of the...
Now, let's take a look just at us, and maybe if we were created by this unmoved mover, we look at us and we go, okay, we're relational. Chances are pretty good this God is relational. If we're communicating beings, he's probably communicating. We're logical. We have reason. There's intellect, certainly not as much as his, but he must have all of those things. We like to create. He must be a creator kind of God. So we can learn a lot about who this being is just by looking at nature. We can look at what happened with that rainstorm. He's powerful. He's big. He makes big bangs, thunder in the sky. Not big bang, big bang. Oh, don't get all excited. He makes all kinds of weather happen. He's created the whole universe. He's a big God. I know a lot about this God now. Now, I don't know who it is yet, but I know a lot about him.
You've made conjecture based off what you've seen.
But it's pretty good conjecture, don't you think?
To a point, yes.
All right, now I'm going to conjecture some more. And I'm going to go after another part of your brain. I'm going to go after your conscience right now.
Shoot.
That little courtroom in your brain that says, I've done very bad things. All right? For instance, have you told lies in your lifetime?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've gotten in trouble for them.
That's right, because it's wrong. Now, because you've told lies... If I told lies, what would you call me? What name would you give to me? Rhymes
probably
with
a
pants
liar.
On fire. That's exactly right. Okay. So you're a liar.
In the past, yes.
Have you? Well, everything's in the past. Have you ever stolen anything?
Probably.
Okay. If you've stolen something, that would make you a...
Thief.
Correct. A little trickier. Lust. Looking at women. Sexual desire.
I'm a teenager, absolutely.
You are indeed correct, sir. All right, because God looks at what's going on inside of your heart. Don't have to do the act. No, I grant you, committing the act is worse than thinking about it. But God, because he's so high and holy and big, sees into your brain, and he knows what's going on, and he sees lust as adultery of the heart. Same thing with murder. You don't have to kill somebody, but if you've just been really mad at somebody unjustly, you think they're an idiot, you've called them bad names, committed murder in your heart, because God goes deeper than just the physical acts. He goes into our heads, and he knows what we're thinking, because it's a heart issue, and he sees our heart. Okay, speaking of God, have you ever taken his name in vain, used God's name in a bad way?
No.
Ever?
Nope.
Okay, has God always been first in your life, though?
No.
Okay, because that's the first commandment, that you should love him. He should be first above all things. And so every time you've eaten a meal and you didn't thank him, you haven't thanked him for air or for a nice day, you've really not been a grateful creation. Okay? So now, let's say at the age of 18, you were to die, and God opened the books up on your life. Everything you've ever done, every deed done in darkness, whether it's looking at stuff on the computer, thinking things, doing things, failing to do things, would he think you're a good person or a bad person?
That depends on how you want to define stuff. In the most absolutely moralistic sense, no, I have not been the greatest of all people. No one is. No one can be perfect.
I don't disagree with you. But just you.
But
morally, have you been pure?
But can you claim that you did not do any of those?
Dude, I would be guilty so fast. Trust me. I would be very, very guilty. That's the problem of humanity. That's the great problem of humanity. I think most people, they just know there's a God. And the question that I think they intrinsically have, and that's why I think we see a lot of attempts at religion, for better or for worse, what do I need to do to be made right with this God? That's the big question. This I just know it in my brain, in my heart. I know I've done bad things. I know it. And I know there's a God, and I'm in big trouble. So the question is, what must I do to be made right with God?
Balance your checkbook in your own way.
That is a possible option. But consider a criminal standing before the judge who says, Judge, yes, I've picked the crime. I've stolen, I've embezzled, whatever it happens to be. But Judge, I gave 10% to charity. The judge says, I don't care. In fact, I don't even care if you gave 100%. You still stole it. You're guilty, and your supposed good deeds do not tip the scales. You can't do something to make up. You're a criminal.
I can see where you're coming from. That when I say balance your checkbook in your own way, for you choosing a religion that you go through the process.
All right, dude. I'm enjoying this. I got to take a break for just a second. Go ahead and take a second. We'll come back and we'll finish this up.
Okay.
Georgia Tech on Wretched Radio.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land. And they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Esther is the story of a Jewish woman who becomes queen of Persia. After a plot to destroy the Jews is uncovered, Esther risks her life to save her people. She appeals to the king, who kills the conspirators and allows the Jews to defend themselves. When you face persecution, remember God is able to save his people through all kinds of circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Learning means gift from God.
Learning something new every day. here on Wretched Radio at Georgia Tech. I'm talking with, what does your name mean, Ian?
Ian means gift from God.
And you said that's a little ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, considering my current stance. But
all right, you're an empiricist. You're a smarty pants guy. When you're in high school, you're like the guy who knows everything.
Yeah.
Did you get beat up because of that?
No. I also have a second degree black belt. People don't take
seriously. Honestly. So
honestly.
You could just like snap me in a heartbeat, couldn't you?
I wouldn't want to.
All right, now I'm curious. All right, let's say I'm a woman.
All right.
And some thug got a bad vibe about this guy, comes up and says something bad, or get into my car. What should a woman do?
If you have a cell phone, pull out. You don't even have to call anyone, but open it up, act like you're talking to someone.
I've always heard, Ian, that if you just act like you're not somebody to be messed with, they're not going to mess with you. As a rule.
That depends.
Okay.
In a small town situation, yeah, that's probably right. If you're in a big city like Atlanta, and I've lived in Memphis for most of my life, and that's another big city. If you're in a city with gangs, looking like you're someone not to be messed with could almost be
worse.
Signing your own death warrant.
Okay, I think I figured out why you're into this karate business. You're from Memphis.
Yes.
Elvis was into karate.
I actually trained under his sensei.
Why do you know? It's a small world. So he taught Elvis. Did you ever see Elvis practice karate? I mean, on videotape, obviously. You weren't born when he was...
No, I was... I've seen pictures. I've not seen videotape.
Mm-hmm. Was it... Based on what you've heard, did they give him the black belt because he was Elvis?
No.
Or did he earn it?
He earned it.
Really?
He earned it.
Oh, man. You gotta go to YouTube, some of those videos of him on stage doing karate.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that he was really attached to the planet at that time.
Probably not.
Something special to behold in a light blue jumpsuit.
I'll have to go check it out.
Okay, so Ian, whose name means gift of God, mm-hmm. when we left things off, I was trying to be your accuser.
Yes.
And to demonstrate that you're guilty, and that even if you tried to bribe the judge and say, Judge, here's $100, you've just made it worse. Judge, I've done some good things. You should let me go. He's not, because you're still guilty of the crime. You, like the rest of us, Ian, would be found guilty. And if God is just, he's going to give us what we deserve. Typically known as hell.
Yes. Or in the Catholic sense, purgatory. But
yeah, in the Catholic sense. I just don't think it's in the Bible.
No. Most of what any religion preaches actually isn't.
Besides, well, I think this is in the Bible. Besides, I think the idea of Jesus dying on a cross contradicts the whole idea of purgatory. Here's why. If Jesus is the God-man, fully God, fully man, whose purpose was to come to this earth to live the life that you and I couldn't live, to keep all the laws that you and I broke so quickly, we can't keep them for a second, he kept them for a lifetime, so that he could be seen as perfectly fulfilling righteousness on our behalf, to be beaten. Basically, the Bible says he was so beaten, you couldn't even tell he was a human being, to die on a cross, to be the payment for your sin and my sin.
Yes.
That's what the Bible teaches, right?
I'm aware of that story. Yes.
Now, if Jesus is indeed fully God and fully man, who died to forgive your sins, he died to forgive all of them, and you can't do anything to make better in purgatory. You don't need to have your sins worked off. He did everything for you. And if you can do something to make up for it, then he gets robbed of his atoning work that he did on your behalf. So purgatory doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I was just bringing up
the other side
of the coin.
Okay, so here's the deal. Based on the Bible, Jesus is that, the God-man who died for you,
mm-hmm.
so that you could have your sins forgiven. The just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous.
Yes, I'm aware
aware of that deal.
I've read that story, yes.
Dude, that's like huge good news for you.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you believe that?
Not real. Thought about it at different points. I look at that, and actually your terminology, the God-man, is one of the reasons I don't buy into. I've never said I don't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe in any religion, right. Which is a little bit different than most people will argue. But the idea of the God-man, you define God as omnipotent, omnipresent, etc.
Yep.
Yet you define man as the perfectly fallible being.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much we strive, that thought is still there.
Yeah.
Except in a very few, very extreme cases.
Everybody. Gandhi, he recognized you as a sinner.
Yeah. But it's going to be there regardless. If you have something that is all-powerful and something that is,
yeah,
for the sake of the argument, all-corrupting, but it's not power.
Okay, good thinking, man. Okay.
You put them together...
And you're going to have a problem.
And you have something that cannot exist.
Good on you for thinking like that. Let me just tell you, though, that's actually an argument for that being true. Here's why. You've got God, who's in heaven, who's perfect, very angry at you for being a lawbreaker, all right? But he's good, and he wants to rescue you, but he's just, so there's got to be a perfect sacrifice. Now, you need to be represented to that God. So here's what we've got. We need the perfect sacrifice, and the only perfect sacrifice for you would be God. And to have a representative to have the goodness that he does applied to your account needs to be a human being. And so the fancy term for it theologically is the ontological nature of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. It's the only thing that could possibly work. Fully God and fully man to be the perfect sacrifice and to be the perfect representative for you. It has to be both. Now, how do we get rid of that corruption issue, though? That's a very good point. Because Jesus wasn't born in sin. It was a supernatural event that happened. I know it's a miracle and you're an empiricist, but if God can make a world, he can do this. So that he would be an uncorrupted nature, but tempted just like you and me, but by the power of God and the Holy Spirit, he lived a perfect life as a man, fully God, fully man, two 100% things in one human being, because it's the only solution that there is, and it can happen because of the miraculous nature of the incarnation when Jesus came to this earth. So that's a good question, but the Bible resolves it for you. It can happen, but only God can do it. And it's the only thing that can help you from your situation, which is God's mad at you, and you need to have yourself a representative who's perfect.
All right, I can
so
understand the...
Theologically, it works very well. Okay, so Ian, look, you got stuff to do today, but you're on this campus, and you're young, and you're thinking things through, which is good, and it's important. But you're a man now. And you should get this resolved, because if what I'm saying to you is true, as you sit on this bench, if you died, you are in very big trouble. Very big trouble.
By your argument, yes.
Because it won't be me as your accuser. It will be God as your accuser. And he's never wrong. And to stand before God on Judgment Day is something you really don't want to experience. You really don't. Because the Bible says he's going to grind you to powder. You're just dealing with omnipotent and omniscient is very a frightening thought indeed. But this day, he comes in peace to offer reconciliation. If you will humble yourself, is what you've got to do. Confess he's God, you're not, and you've sinned against him in countless ways. You apologize. Basically, I'm describing repentance for you.
Yep.
And put your trust in him and him alone as the true and only God. And he promises that work that Jesus did for you will be credited to your account. Not a Catholic idea. This is a biblical idea.
Yes, no, I know.
His goodness credited to you, your badness credited to him. The great exchange. So that you can be adopted into God's family, and he will grant you everlasting life and complete forgiveness of sins. And it doesn't mean you won't go on to be a geeky biology, physics, whatever thing it is that you're doing, but he will be the priority of your life. He's going to realter your priorities because he's the highest priority there is. So God offers you forgiveness and everlasting life today. Please just think about it today. I know you got distractions and busy stuff, but this is very important. I'm guessing you wouldn't sell me one of your eyes for $1 million, would you?
Actually, if I could get $1 million out of one of these poor eyes,
pathetic, are they? Okay, how's about $2 million for both of your eyes?
Got other senses.
So you'd be willing to sell me your eyes for $2 million?
I'm $2 million better off, which goes to paying
you
for
can't,
this.
Dude, you would be the first person I've ever asked that question to has said yes. You would sell me your precious eyes for $2 million?
Yeah.
All right. What do you think, if your eyes are worth $2 million, what do you think your soul is worth?
To quote the rather funny commercials, and I'm sure that's the answer
priceless.
You're looking for. Priceless.
What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his very soul? So it's good to be smart, but be wise. Think these things through. Read the Bible. You've got a copy of that, right?
I have a copy. I also have a copy of the Quran. and the Apocrypha, and
you can read those things too. I wouldn't say don't read those, but see if any of those offer you forgiveness of sins and everlasting life and make sense like the Bible does. And you'll conclude, like billions have, that the Bible is true. And you can have forgiveness of sins. All right. Well, maybe read it again. Maybe thinking about sitting on the hot seat in front of God all by yourself, having to give an account for your entire life. Read it from that perspective. And maybe that'll bring some clarity to it. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right. Ian, I had a guess. Thank you very much. I'm glad we tripped into each other.
Not a problem.
I don't think it was an accident. All right?
We'll see.
Yeah. We will indeed. All right, dude. See ya. Right. Thanks for the chat. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
It's Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.